blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to people in our monthly donor program. What shall we look at this morning? Kasia.
Familiar process starts towards kind of the last week of visiting month program. Mm-hmm. So someone wants to take all that and bring it to the light outside the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioning kind of slide this in into a content. So I'm gonna do the dishes and the tubs.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm gonna do it, you know, that this way and, mm-hmm. and so on. So I remember previous years I even made the recordings
mm-hmm.
of a list of things how I'm gonna improve my life.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm reminded myself that it's not about the content. I want to bring the process, and the process actually, that's what conditioning is trying to kind of diverge.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked kind of a couple of days ago about like Pasha going to the casino after the monastery in order to kind of compensate.
After the go to the what?
To a casino.
Oh, casino.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
To compensate.
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
been in the monastery for a month.
Yeah.
Now I need to go really lay it all on the line of the casino.
Yes.
To compensate for that.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I want to practice is not going to a casino and not going into kind of a distraction about the content.
Uh-huh.
Let
me catch up with you, because that so you're seeing a familiar process here, that here you are entering your last week as a visiting monk, and the process is going to all the things that you're practicing here to take them home and practice them at home. And conditioning will take those and make them into the content. Like, okay, I'm going to now start washing my dishes in tubs. I'm going to start, you know, all of the content things. And what you're seeing that it's not about the content per se. It's the process of supporting Pasha in practice back in the world, just like he was supported here at the monastery.
And what you're practicing is not going swinging over to the other side, like was talked about in a couple of retreats ago, that, okay, I've been doing monastic practice, now I'm going to go on the other side and go to a casino or whatever, but not, and to watch that, how conditioning will try to take it all to the other side.
Yes, and what, as I hear that, what came up is also the result of plans, and that there was a few recordings years ago about the planning how I'm going to use pasha for the good cause, and just coming back to practice, to here, not going with the planning, and if I can only take just the sour cream, that would be worth coming here.
Yeah, so what it sounds like the process that you're looking at is just being here. And that can include conditioning, the planning, the content, everything. Mm-hmm. And what when you come here, what it sounds like you're going to is just gratitude for what you've seen. And if all that you can hold is the whole thing with the sour cream, that will have been everything. Because really it all is in one thing. Everything is in that one thing, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And not clinging into like, oh, okay, that's only possible in the monastery and not possible there. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to be here.
Yeah.
And I want to use this opportunity for every second I'm here.
Yeah.
And I want to practice while I'm here.
Yeah.
And while I'm there.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, I can be grateful for every second of training.
Yes.
Whether it's this training here in the monastery, whether it's every second of training at home out in the world, because what the heart wants is to be here for everything.
Yes.
Everything. And the gratitude just flows for everything that you've experienced and seen here.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same presence, it can be there at home too.
Yes. There was a competition between the parent and the monk, they can just coexist and have their own parts, have their own roles, and like you said, I can include everything, including those processes that are trip me over.
Yes.
Watching them.
Yes. Because we have to transcend. We have to encounter what we want to transcend. Mm-hmm. What we are to transcend. So in that way, the parent, the monk, both are in this field of awareness, and what you're practicing is that acceptance and encountering it all. Because it can be nothing can be transcended unless and until we encounter it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a competition.
Yes.
It's not and you caught that bamboozle of comparing. Okay, the monk versus the parent.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not. It's an artificial construct set up by conditioning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That we're all everything. Nothing needs to be resisted. Nothing needs to be pushed away. Nothing needs to be on top or on, underneath. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Sequoia.
Oh, that whole thing about planning, I can relate to that. I was just noticing this morning in the sit. breathe, and then then I'm going to get the rice, and I'm going to rinse it, and then I'm going to, and then breathe, and then it's like planning what's, did I remember the da-da-da-da, and just, I've been seeing lately that actually none of my plans have have actually really worked out. Uh-huh. You know, it's like the all that constant planning that conditioned mind wants to, you know, it's something like if it, you know, if it can, if it all gets planned, it's going to avert some kind of disaster.
Yeah.
You know, that is, we just got to get this all figured out, and you know, this is going to go this way, and this is, you know, just like it's, I'll be very comfortable.
Uh huh.
Seen through, you know, the lens of this personality type, it'll all be very comfortable if I can just get it all planned.
Uh-huh.
And it goes according to plan, and
yeah,
you know, I don't have to. And
which of course it never does.
It never does.
So conditioning is there doing that process, yeah, of planning,
yeah,
because there's a belief that I will be comfortable with if I can get the plan,
mm-hmm,
and then if the plan works. Because then I can avert disaster.
Right.
So there's the belief. You've, yeah, uncovered the belief. You've,
yeah,
seen it.
Yeah.
And you've also seen that never happens. That never, right, actually happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll never encounter conflict. I'll never.
Yeah.
You know. I'll look really good because, mm-hmm, I got it all handled.
Uh-huh.
And, you know.
Yeah. Because around here, that's what gets you really looking really good.
It's
and have
so
it all handled,
amazing.
Right.
It's so amazing how that belief just clings so tenaciously, even though there's nothing to support it.
In the face of all kinds of evidence.
All kinds of, you know, quite the contrary.
Yeah,
you know,
it is a tenacious
thing. You know, I think even the guide said to me one time, yeah, we're here where, you know, being with the really right person thing would be to drop the voices and to, you know, just get here.
Yeah.
And still, it just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I hear that. And get it right, then I'll drop the voices.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, just the plan. Yeah. I'll get it right, then I'll drop the voices, then I'll be the really right person.
Yeah. And I've been looking at, well, I'm approaching a big milestone birthday.
Mm.
And I don't know. I've decided to practice dying with it.
Mm, always a good thing to do on your birthday.
And I think that's just giving rise to looking at, boy, this journey has not unfolded in any way that,
yeah, that it would have planned.
That it would have planned it to unfold.
Yeah.
And I think, well, maybe you can make sense of all this, but this thing keeps coming up this morning, too, from, I think it's Hafiz, and I know this is not, he said this much more poetically than I'm going to just say it right now,
okay.
But there's something in one of his poems when he talks about God in a playful manner, he's probably drunk in one of Hafiz's poems, but, you know, grabs us by the hair and pulls us around the room until we let go of all of our toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just
our toys that aren't such good toys, right?
Well, all, yeah, of
our
those things that we think we need, we have to hold on to. We,
right,
have to,
right,
our distractions, our,
yeah,
you know, our plans,
yeah,
our, and phew. I just feel a little bit like I'm having an experience getting pulled around by the hair.
Uh-huh.
And having a lot just slip through my fingers that just seemed so important at one time.
Wow.
Signs of a good person, or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really... So here's this person, this sincere Zen practitioner who wants to practice dying on, mm-hmm, her birthday. And that's the heart's desire, you know? And then here's this image that comes up of being, now in that poem there are two characters, either God that's doing the dragging, that's practicing and helping this person die, or the person who's clinging to the toys, right? And you say when you feel like you're being the one being dragged, it's like things are slipping through your fingers that you thought were so important. So you get the experience of being dragged by the hair. Mm-hmm. You know what that feels like. And then you get the experience of approaching the milestone birthday and wanting to let them go.
I was going to say, it's like, I think one has to be standing, hanging around the doorway of God in order to get pulled by the hair.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It would, you know, I would say it's not anything I want to have happen, mm-hmm. but that's not so.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. not so for the heart. It's like, yeah, yeah you
it's
know.
It's not anything that I would want.
It's not anything that I would want.
Yeah, that the ego I wants
yeah.
to have happen.
But the heart definitely.
But the heart is just loitering by that door.
You know, yeah, yeah, just give me a hand here.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if you're obligated to say, it sounds like a kind of a grim birthday, just, you know, to say, just practice dying, but, you know, it's just like in a celebratory way, too, you know, to just...
Yeah, well, anywhere but here, it might sound grim,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But when you're around a practice that says things, and a guide that says things like, the only thing that ever dies is ego. You know?
Exactly.
Then
yeah.
you can say, I want to practice dying, and everyone's like, ooh, tell us what it's like.
Yeah.
We do too, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's an understanding of what that really is.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. Yeah. 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 I've had and I think this is just, you know, a part of that letting go process is just really coming to the place of, like, why would we ever do anything other than just hold hands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's just, like, no other option.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seems so crazy. The opposition, petty differences,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. It's just all so nutty.
Yeah.
And so just feeling just a great gratitude and a great willingness
mm-hmm.
to just let go and practice that hand holding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And knowing that. It's not, none of it's personal.
Yeah.
It's none of it's personal.
But what's really real, what's
yeah.
really true,
yeah.
is that it makes sense to do nothing else but hold hands through it all. That's all,
yeah.
the only thing the heart ever wants to do.
Yeah.
And that anything else is just nutty. And we can let that slip through our fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. And then give up what holding hands looks like.
Yeah. Then someday that becomes a problem and let
yeah.
go of attitude. Or is that what you mean? Oh, or
no.
Do you mean like what, or does ego come in with an idea of what holding
well,
hands?
Well, I have a particular situation in my life with my son who is not open to me at all.
Uh-huh.
And having the experience of just deeply loving him.
Yeah.
And holding his hand, even though it's not like it doesn't look like that's what we're happy, but just completely holding his hand.
Yeah, letting go what holding hands looks like, because who knows?
Who knows?
It sure feels like in your love, you're holding his hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Stephanie.
Well, I'll jump in because I haven't yet, and I don't even know what I want to say. It's been, I feel like I'm the person being whipped around by the hair.
Uh-huh.
I've been here since Wednesday, and gosh, I just feel like I'm starting to settle down, I think, today.
Mm-hmm.
And... my body is changing. I'm going off a medication, which causes me to sweat. the weather is so hot,
mm-hmm.
And then I'm having hot flashes. I notice when all that happens, and it's just like, I get angry, mm-hmm. and it's so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry said at the working retreat, she said something like, it sounds like it was only a problem because you thought you should be something else, or you thought mm-hmm. something was wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I've tried to keep that in mind, like, there's nothing wrong. I'm so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it passes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm coming closer to that, but I just notice how I can go to anger so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, you're noticing there'll be all these sensations, the sweat, the heat, the hot flashes, and then the emotion, the anger, just, it's like, I've been here since Wednesday and I've been sweating and angry ever since, right? And as if there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's just been my experience, is I've been mm-hmm. here sweating and being angry for whatever, 3 or 4 days now, and my body is now beginning to settle down. And if that's perfectly okay, which the guide suggested perhaps it is, mm-hmm. but whatever is just okay.
Yeah.
What's that like? You know, what's that experience?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just becomes so much easier to let go of it.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the anger does come up, and I'm like, I'm angry, you know, at what is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of silly. There's no reason to, you know, feel the anger, and then it releases.
Uh-huh. So accepting the anger just as what is helps it to release, or kind of just facilitates it kind of passing through, but kind of trying to control it or be upset about it or whatever, wanting it to be different, kind of has a different feel to it.
Yeah. It's been like the hair, because it's been like this tumultuous ride.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I really am up against it because, you know, I've seen somebody else had said, you know, going home, it seems like the practices drop.
Uh-huh.
And that brings up fear uh-huh. for me, because it's like, you don't have any other choice, because I've been down the other road, as we all have, and
of not practicing,
and just the misery that is just a life in misery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm unwilling to do that,
mm-hmm.
and then turning towards the practices, you know, I just get impatient, and I you know, just have that sense like it's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too hard. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of between the rock and the hard spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so that experience of it's too hard, and I just, and not, so here I don't want to go back to not practicing, because I know the misery of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, taking the practices home with me, that feels so hard, and having that support when I'm home, it just feels like hard. And so there's the rock, and there's the hard place, and there's the human caught in between.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And what do you see in that? Well, how would you like to be with that? So you see where you are. How would you like to be with that?
I would like to be at peace
mm-hmm.
with, I guess, acceptance
mm-hmm.
with that is
mm-hmm.
where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's a little bit of hopelessness because
mm-hmm.
I've seen it before, and it just brings up fear.
Mm-hmm.
It brings up fear that, you know, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That much I know.
Mm-hmm.
I feels like I don't have enough support at home, in
mm-hmm.
my home life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've done before is, well, I'm going to go home and make structures that are going to work better for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am in a different place than I have been, obviously. Mm-hmm. A much different place.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have kind of those plans, like I want to make it this way, mm-hmm. and I don't want to set myself up for that either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Up for the disappointment or whatever that you've experienced in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it sounds like, you know, Sherry has talked about recently, I think it was on Open Air, about how the karma cycles mm-hmm. around like the spiral staircase. So it sounds yeah. like you're finding yourself at a place where you've been before,
mm-hmm.
but you are in a different place now
yes.
in your practice.
Yes.
And so definitely. Here it is, wanting to put more structures in place to support yourself at home more because you feel like you really need that support. And you felt like that before and have felt that maybe you've been disappointed or didn't quite work out, but you're not in the same place in your practice as you were those times.
Yeah.
Just by, you know, you're just in a different place.
Yeah.
And so here is an opportunity for you to see, okay, here's that desire again coming to put more supports in place at home for practice. Huh, I wonder how it'll be this time around.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what life will drop in to put in now. I wonder how ego's going to try to thwart it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing that you want to be at peace.
Yes.
With this rock and a hard place sort of kind of karma that you can find yourself in. And, you know, and
yeah.
being with that.
Yeah, I think I want to be diligent about the recording and listening as well, mm-hmm. which has been not very diligent.
Diligent, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful. So
yeah.
perhaps that's one of the supports
there you go. There's
could bring in.
So in that wonder what life's going to drop in, there's one.
There
I want to be more diligent yeah. about recording and listening.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that would be super helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Great. It's a great practice, isn't it?
Yeah. Just one more thing. It's funny how, you know, it's so emotional being here. And my dreams last night were just insane, just crazy. Mm-hmm. And they're just funny, right?
Uh-huh.
And then it dropped in, you know, my mom, and I was just, you know, washed with the emotion this morning. And it's just funny how the emotions come
yeah.
to the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if they're just allowed.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, other times maybe there's a lid on them. It's kind of my experience. And then they're just allowed to be because, yeah, we can just be.
It's the same.
Whatever's
thing.
Arising.
Yeah, and there's no judgment with it. I can
yeah.
just feel them, and then they go. So that's
yeah.
that's a good feeling to not be judgmental
yeah.
about them.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. If they can just come and go and come and go, and there's no judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good feeling not to have that judgment just be hovering over all of our
it is.
Emotions.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Krista.
On Thursday's group, I reported that I was very identified, and I want to report that I used recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
And I got to the real cause of the identification,
uh-huh.
and it was actually abandoning myself.
Mm-hmm.
So because the circumstances have gone on for a long time, mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, well, the important thing is to take care of ourselves, because then whatever happens, we're cured for.
Yeah.
And I forgot that.
Uh-huh. We do, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. How could you forget that? That's why I say it, so I don't forget it. But I didn't say it. I forgot it, and then there it was. And so I just wanted to report that it was like I had to go through those really painful steps.
Mm-hmm.
And each, like I recorded, like, each person, like in that, the person in that pain recorded, and then I listened, and then another person was there, and then I was like, oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just all let go.
Wow. So let me reflect that process. So, because it sounds like it's so perfect for how to use a recording and listening tool. So you got the recorder and you let every single person who's in that pain talk.
Yes, it wasn't all at one time though.
Yeah.
Like, so the person who was in pain like talked and was like, la 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 la. And, and then And then I listened, and then I don't even know what the mentor said. And then some period of time later, maybe it was that day or the next day, then another person, I said, well, let me try again.
Yeah.
And so then another person spoke.
Yeah.
And then I listened, and then, you know, responded. And then after that, not right away, but some period of time later, then the real truth of the situation could appear, and then I recorded about that.
Yeah.
And in that recording, it was actually the truth, so there wasn't a response.
Yeah. So everyone who was in pain got to be heard in their own time, whenever they showed up, whenever it was on, you know, with maybe days, you know, apart or whatever.
Right.
And they got to hear a response from the mentor.
Right.
And then over time, something just dropped in that was clarifying for, oh, this was the real, oh, I forgot about taking care of myself. I know, Krista was abandoned, but she's not now.
Right, and then because there's like you know, when you're that identified, it's like even when you start to get over it, it's like being hung over. You know, it's like has really like a
residual kind of.
Yeah, and then when I realized, got to that core place, it then like the hangover could even just fall away.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So when you got to that place that even the hangover could fall away, it felt like the disidentification was really complete, and you were in that awareness, in that care.
Yes.
Back home.
Back home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to report that, because everyone here has been so supportive about recording and listening.
Yeah, so encouraging. And it's always fun when somebody really like takes it on and goes for it. Like, so that's...
It's funny. I mean, I feel like I take it on. I actually don't feel like I take it on, to be honest. I take it on in a way like when there's a problem like this, mm-hmm. I take it on. But it occurred to me, and maybe this is how I could take it on now after I'm telling you this story, but it occurred to me that maybe I could try taking it on like in a non-crisis way, like just as a support to see like what new level of presence could be available just for making that effort.
Yes. Oh gosh, you know, that is so my experience too, so there's that friend or trusted advisor or whatever that you turn to when you're in a crisis. But what if I just go visit that person for no apparent reason, you know?
Right.
Just because they're a really cool person. Just because
right.
I like them. Just because the heart seems to be happy when we're there.
There's actually a place in between that I feel like I could... I'm really, like, outing this, so I'm going to have to do it now. But there's a place where, like, everything is fine, but... there can be like a low level of anxiety that's not even necessarily acknowledged, but is there.
Yeah.
Like I thought, well, I wonder if I were to record, you know, to do it in that, like, you know, it's in between the states, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What could come from that?
Yes. Yeah. What could come when what's not even really registering has the possibility of getting revealed or getting registered?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm in my life. I'm committing right here to practice that in myself with myself.
Uh-huh.
Because in my work life, I have a similar process where I work with somebody and it looks like it's all okay, but somewhere in the back of my mind, there's like, well, I wonder if this is really, like I don't have a way to know because it's not my skill set. Well, I don't have. I mean, I like say it's the bookkeeper, so I don't have that skill set.
Uh-huh.
But I understand the broad picture.
Uh-huh.
So, like a year ago, or I probably said around there, I said, I wonder. It looks like they're doing it. They're fast. You gotta say that they're really fast. But I wonder, you know, and then a year later. Just last week when I was having that very bad week, I happened to come across, by chance, I came across this information in the banking system that proved to me how very wrong it all is.
Uh-huh.
And it's...
You had this little niggling sense
Right, it's the same thing. Uh-huh. Like, but I didn't have a way to even like. Yeah. I mean, I sort of went, well, it's fast, but I wonder if every how. I wonder. I guess we'll find out down the line if everything's really right. No, it's really not right. So, but now, but it's the same process. Yeah. So the point is not the content here. The point is that it's the same process that I kind of went, well, I wonder, huh? And then here I kind of go, well, I wonder. Like, it, because it's right on the edge, you know? Mm-hmm.
And boy, to divert a disaster later by giving some credence to that, huh, I wonder. Mm-hmm. And what you're suggesting is by recording on a consistent basis, say every once a day or whatever you end up setting up for yourself, you're giving it.
Well, you brought that in. I didn't bring that in.
I know. I brought it in, or whatever you decide.
I only brought in like the idea of like recording when there's that sort of consciousness that there's something on the edge of consciousness.
Uh huh. So whatever way you decide to do that, you're by recording, you're going to open up the door for that to have some airtime, to have conscious, compassionate awareness. Kind of being able to work on that with you. Do you know?
Yeah.
You bring it up.
To see, like, what kind of presence can be experienced in this space of, like, sort of partial presence, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the partial presence is so, I don't know. Partial.
And you're going to make it full.
Well, I'm going to see if recording in that state makes it full.
Yeah.
And then if that brings, I mean, how it affects that state, and then who knows, maybe it would give me, then when I'm in the next business situation where I do the, like, it's sort of in the back, like, the same process, but in that with an external person, not an internal person, maybe that would give me a way in that moment to speak to that.
Yeah, maybe you will.
So that I don't have to wake up and pay. I mean, I have to pay financially too.
Right.
So
right.
I have to. It's paying on a lot of levels.
Uh huh. Exactly. yeah. Exactly. So there's a price we pay for that partial, right? For it being partial, because then we. But when we can bring it into the full light of awareness, then maybe there's a way to circumvent whatever that, you know, that pain or suffering would be, right? Mm-hmm. By bringing it into awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and maybe recording and listening will be the way for that to happen.
Well, I'm going to try it.
You're going to try it and report
back. I'm going to report back.
Because you're very good at doing that.
I am. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anna.
I'm having a fun experience with recording and listening at the moment. So we're on the bamboozle of the conditional. And the assignment is to, at the end of the day, record something that takes you to the unconditional. So it could be something like what makes you happy and what you're grateful for. Uh-huh. And so every night I've been asking, you know, what makes you happy? And I just realise how much it makes me happy to be asked that question. And I think it has something to do with, like, finding out what this person likes and what makes her happy.
Yeah.
And it's that, like, feeling of being accepted. Or, like, getting to know what she likes. Mm-hmm. Something the guide said in group recently was, like, saying yes to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then getting to find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So just all these, like, surprising things are coming up when I ask, like, what makes you happy. And I just love it.
Yeah. So just the very act and the process of asking yourself, what makes you happy? You just love, and you've gotten some surprising things come up of what makes you happy, because you're getting to know her and getting to let her come out, and that's making you happy.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. And it's just another way of, like, really getting to experience how the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I'm asked about what makes you happy, and, like, attention, like, it's like runs over the day, like, all these things that have made me happy. That I might not be kind of aware of if attention's on a story about something that went wrong during the day, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just I'm just having such a good time with it. And then the assignment is to listen to it again in the morning. And mornings, they've never been associated with happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
More like hard, miserable. So in the morning, to play the recording of what makes you happy, just even brings this. It's like remembering, oh yeah, there's such a thing as happy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and I do experience it. And mm-hmm. oh yeah, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. it's just amazing. So, and it's amazing too how, like, just talking to her like that and experiencing that acceptance lets other things kind of come up so she can talk about it
mm-hmm.
and in that acceptance too, rather than like coming from a like fixing place, if that makes sense.
I think so. Let me see. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing the practicing, when you're doing listening to and making the recordings of what makes you happy,
mm-hmm.
you're finding that there's also other things that can come up.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of opens the doorway for other things for her to get to talk about.
Exactly.
It might not have happened if the attention had been on something else. So, you know, what went wrong or whatever. She wouldn't have sort of had that entree.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm gonna, I think, keep this one. No, I am gonna keep this one going. Definitely.
Yeah, it's transforming your mornings from a miserable to a attention focus on happy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
That's big.
Yeah, it is big, and it's all part of that, like, looking at like what's hard and what's too hard. I love it, like, you know, I just love that practice of like coming home at the end of the day and doing like a "Hi Honey, I'm Home" recording. I once got, like, that was the actual assignment from the guy,
uh-huh.
like, come home and just do a "Hi Honey, I'm Home" recording every night. It'll change
wow.
your life, and it has been. As it's like, you know, you put your things down, sit down, oh, how's your day been?
How's your day?
What's been going on? And sometimes, you know, if I say, oh, it's been really awful, it's been really hard, and the mentors are right there with, what's hard? Like, what is awful? Like, just getting me to look, like, what is awful? And often it comes down to, like, there's something not being accepted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm feeling not accepted, whatever's going on feels like it's not being accepted, and that's what's awful, not anything that's been going on.
Uh-huh.
I just love it when the mentor asks really amazing questions.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't let you stay in the story or the assumption that something's hard or awful. But like, what is hard? What is it?
Yeah.
What do you mean when
oh,
you
wow.
say something's hard?
That is so neat though, because it's not like the mentor tries to pull you out of the story, like, oh, it wasn't that hard, was it? No. It invites you to go deeper.
Exactly.
Go right into it.
Yeah.
What is hard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's under that?
Yeah.
And I just love the question, what's really going on?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can feel like you're talking, it might be even like to another person or on the recorder, and you can feel that you're not really talking about what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And the mentor kind of goes, what's really going on?
Yeah.
And then you get to say, oh, it's actually this, but it feels like that thing that was really going on, I can't say for whatever reason, it's not acceptable, it's not all right, I shouldn't be having this experience. But just to have somebody say, well, I can hear you're not really talking about what's going on, I can feel it. There's like a kind of bit of pretending or a bit of hiding something. What's really going on?
Yeah. It's so handy that the mentor shares the body with us, because because no sensations go undetected.
Right.
And so the mentor can see, you know, so I got the mentor before said, I know you saw that because I saw you just see that. And so here the mentor says, now what's really going on? Because she sees, oh, there's what's wanting to get talked about really isn't. There's a little bit of hiding. There's a little bit of, so it just invites you to go deeper. And opens the door, encourages you. What's really going on there? And boy, it sounds like the person, the human, is just willing to go. But there was that, you know, helpful encouragement to get beyond whatever that is.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it really is. I'm finding it such a helpful question at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
What's really going on? Just even walking around, you can feel you're in a bit of a, there's something going on, but you're not quite with it.
Mm-hmm.
In you don't really have your attention on what's going on with the human, just what's really going on. It feels like a dropping down, down. What's really going on? What's really going on?
It reminds me of what we just talked about with that sort of partial, that the recording, the process of recording and listening just transforms that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just kind of blows right through that veil or whatever we would call it to what is really going on.
Exactly.
What is authentic, we might even say.
Exactly. What's authentic is you can record and listen back and then ask what's really going on. Put the recorder back and then just talk about what it feels like might be under that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get to prove to yourself that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so it where you get to prove to yourself there's just nothing wrong. Kind of magical, isn't it?
A miracle.
A miracle.
A true miracle.
Oh, thank you.
I really like the idea, the question of what makes you happy. Because I thinking about it, it seems kind of like a stepping stone to another wonderful question, which is, what are you grateful for?
Mm-hmm.
And those two, I think, are kind of like a dynamic duo. Because if you ask yourself, what are you happy for, you automatically go toward the idea of what you're grateful for.
Yeah.
And if you ask what you're grateful for, you automatically start to think about, oh, there's a lot of things that make me happy,
mm-hmm.
even if you didn't really know that they make you happy.
Yeah.
And you start to become aware of that there's a lot more going on that's that brings up that feeling of happiness that you acknowledge on a day-to-day basis. And I think those are two really, really great questions.
Yeah, they're like a tag team.
They are like a tag team. They work together.
They work together.
And it brings me to the idea of affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, what makes you happy, is almost what I would call an affirmation in the form of a question.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying something like, I am happy, which is an affirmation, I am a happy person, you ask the question of what makes me happy, which actually puts more power into that phrase and puts more power into the experience, because it creates... an opening for your mind to see what's making you happy. And mm-hmm. I think that's just a really beautiful way of creating that positivity and opening that channel into a positive mindset and bringing positivity into your life.
Yeah, don't forget where you're about to go, mm-hmm. but because that's a really important distinction that I think you're making, and I just want to see if I'm with you, because what an affirmation is okay, I'm a happy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can kind of in theory, in theory, I'm a happy person. But what that question does is, what makes me happy? It takes us to the actual experience.
Right.
So that might, we might talk about it in our language, sort of the difference between an affirmation and a reassurance. A reassurance is what is actually so.
Okay.
What makes us happy? What makes me happy is the sound of the birds or the breeze or whatever. And it, as you said, it opens up the portal, or it takes us to the experience of that interview, that experience of happiness, positivity, mm-hmm. whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And instead of asking a question like, well, what am I feeling right now, or what feelings do I enjoy, the specific nature of that question, what makes me happy, makes the mind already lock on to the fact that you are happy about something.
Yeah, turning the attention to what makes me happy, and then we have it.
So you're not going to think about, am I happy, am I sad, am I mad, or anything like that. You're already in the process of opening up that gate toward I am happy, and there are things that make me happy, so your mind's already focusing there.
Exactly.
I really like that.
Yeah.
And today in the meditation, I had the serious case of the swallows, and I think I have something stuck in my throat or whatever, and that was immensely frustrating and comparable to the feeling mentioned earlier of the heat and the sweat. And attaching to those feelings, and it also made me think about the idea of death, And the Buddhist, I believe it's a Buddhist idea of with, especially with heat and with cold and the those feelings in the extreme, that if you allow those feelings to kill you in a symbolic way, and maybe visualizing in your mind that you almost you take their power away, and the idea of being so cold that you like just letting the cold kill you, and if the at that point you are essentially letting go of that feeling, you're letting go of the resistance to the cold, because the idea of feeling cold to me is you're not actually, the experience is made up in your mind. It's not the cold that's making you feel cold. It's the resistance to the cold that's making you feel cold. And it's the, with heat, it's the resistance to the heat. You're not allowing the feeling to just be what it is. And so essentially, and we're what was mentioned, practicing death, practicing the death of a feeling, allowing that feeling to kill you, and that idea could be applied to painful emotions, where you just let that feeling overwash you and kill you, and it's the ultimate state of death is the ultimate state of letting go.
Yeah. So when you were experiencing that on the cushion with the swallowing,
yeah,
were you experiencing the? Where did you? It sounds like it kind of took you up into your head around,
yes,
this teachings.
Yes.
Which I don't know anything about, but
yeah,
I'll take your word for it. And then did you feel what happened after that? So after you started into that, did it take you to a place of accepting the place where you were in?
More so, I was getting closer to that goal, and I started to develop a lot of frustration, and the heat started to develop. I was like, why am I continuing to swallow? And like, uh-huh, it just, why is this thing stuck in my throat? Why did this have to happen at this moment, et cetera, et cetera?
Uh-huh. So there are the voices.
There are the,
why did
the, voice, the voices. Uh-huh. And then I thought of that same idea of that's used with those feelings of being cold or with mm-hmm, or with heat, where it's just the resistance. And I'm the resistance to that feeling of swallowing or whatever attention that I'm giving it is actually what's feeding it. And so by letting go of that, I was able to come to a much calmer state and not swallow so much. I was still kind of in that, there was still something stuck in my throat, so I didn't really completely conquer it. But it really did help.
Well, and what, you know, it sounds like you saw a lot. Like you were there with the experience and
mm-hmm,
saw all that. Saw the sensation, saw the heat, saw the sweat, saw the thoughts, saw the beliefs coming in, saw the teachings, saw all of that, what the voices were saying,
mm-hmm,
and just sitting there noticing. And as we're fond of saying, there's nothing to accomplish,
right,
no goal, we're just noticing.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we're doing.
Absolutely.
So you got to see a lot in that.
I definitely.
Yeah.
Saw and felt a lot.
Saw and felt a lot.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's because that's what we're watching. We're watching the sensations. We're noticing the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We're noticing the voices. We're being the field of awareness in which all of that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, it sounds like there was a lot of activity happening.
Definitely a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was happy I was able to just sit here and get through it. You know?
Yeah.
And get to a closer place of calm. I wasn't completely in my normal meditative state, but I was able to get closer to it.
Uh-huh.
And yeah,
uh-huh, yeah,
not let it completely overtake me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Any more? Yeah, thank you.
I saw a movie last night that sort of was speaking to some of the things we're talking about today. At least I'm hearing it that way, maybe because of the filter of having that experience,
uh-huh,
recently. It was a movie that was a Walt Disney, well, not Walt Disney, he's not alive anymore. It was a Disney movie, and it was about the characters in your head,
mm,
and they're in the background trying to make things right or trying to manipulate the behavior. Oh no, she's doing that. We gotta, you know. And it just reminds, you know, it's like the voices. And in this particular movie, joy. There was joy, sadness, fear, and disgust. Those were the subpersonalities or the aspects of the person. And joy was like the leader. Mm-hmm. So they always had to, whenever something would happen, they all got on board to try and get the girl whose head they live in joyful, because that was the survival technique. Mm-hmm. And her parents loved that she was a joyful child, so her reinforcement from her outside people was that too. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that everything went kind of wrong and everything was falling apart. And the putting it back together, and the one character, the sadness, was the one who was always messing everything up in this world that they had created, you know. I could just see how it, you know, it's kind of just like the conditioning is there. Everything in this kid's life was pushing her towards being joyful, and she couldn't really acknowledge or accept or express any sadness. And so the characters in the head, whenever sadness would touch something, they'd all go and they were trying to keep sadness from participating. So it was, you know, it was just like there's something that's acceptable and something that isn't. And it turned out that sadness made it all get right in the end, because it got brought into the fold as part of all that exists. And so sadness, who had always been rejected and nobody would let her do anything, or him, I don't know what it was a little character, finally got to be important in the aspect of the personality. And I just thought it was so interesting the way they did it. And then I started looking, okay, I thought, well, that's really interesting, because of course we are prone to a certain manifestation of who we are because it got rewarded. And so I was thinking that in mine, the character that was Joy, who was like the hero, was real enthusiastic and really doing a lot of things. And my reinforcement was on just being quiet and not being exuberant or joyful, just, you know, do what you're supposed to do and quiet kind of thing. And so I thought, well, that's interesting now to look at that and to really have an understanding of why this person is kind of a flatliner. And so to kind of look at bringing in a more of acceptance of being a more excited and exuberant and active in that way.
So you're looking at it from your experience of seeing, okay, if I was conditioned mostly toward being quiet and flatlining and all that, wonder what things are not being allowed to touch anything, like exuberance or excitement or being talkative or anything like that. Those weren't conditioned to be, you know, reinforced or rewarded. So you're looking at maybe how to bring opposite. So how to maybe allow those to come in and be more accepting of those in the life, in your life.
There's kind of this you know, keep back and don't say anything, and you know, and that was, I can see how that was rewarded. That was what the good girl did. And so it was just kind of interesting to see that film and then kind of
hear everything today.
And see how they acted it out in a way that was really interesting to see that like that. Like they had these levers and stuff that they could make the girl in her head get the message that, I have to be joyful now. And
And now you can see how you want to be more inclusive of all those things that haven't gotten to touch the levers before.
Yeah, the parts that haven't really been acceptable to participate.
Yeah. It'll be a very fun practice.
Yeah, and it remind me what's really going on.
Yeah.
You know, that. Yeah. And all of the things that we're talking about is that something gets left out.
Yes.
Something gets left out. And it's when I said that, I thought, I don't need to say anything about that. I was going to say something about there's nothing wrong with your retreat, but
okay.
No. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so letting it in, what is it kind of conditionally gotten left out?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening in my life. So that's why I think it's really interesting that this movie just, you know, came in. That is what's happening in my life, is mm-hmm. that there's some activity going on that is calling that aspect of the person that's not ever been able to really participate.
Yeah. Just like sadness never gave up.
Yeah,
you know,
she
was always
that
there.
She kept touching these things. And
so that, whichever is needing to be integrated or accepted or whatever it is in our lives, it just doesn't ever give up. It's going to be there until it gets brought into the fold.
Yeah, and life has brought this thing into my life that is helping it to manifest and to
get practice.
In fact, now it's getting rewarded, that particular part of the personality that has been rejected.
Yeah, very cool.
So it's just interesting how life does that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you all.